The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Good morning, friends. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Thursday, the 3rd of September, 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. You can text us on 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie. We're all giddy and excited and a little bit anxious about the return of the Late Late Show tomorrow night. We have a humdinger of a lineup for you. I think you're going to really like it, which is good news. And we are and have been planning the show in a way. See, what happened with the programme in March was that we were kind of hijacked by COVID and we were kind of tweaking and recalibrating. But now that we're going into the season fully aware of what we have to deal with, it's a very different proposition entirely. So we're going to do our best to bring you the best. And we're very ambitious and we're very optimistic to do that every Friday night between now and the end of May, which feels like 500 years away. But in fact, it generally comes along before you realise it and taps you on the shoulder and say, remember me? I said, God, I wasn't expecting to see you. And here you are, fully made up and ready to go. So that's tomorrow night at 9:35. I can tell you one or two guests because they said, you can. I said, can I tell them everything? They said, no, because there has to be some element of surprise. So I was in Croke Park last week for a very special reason. And the reason was our friends in Croke Park said, you can have the stadium if you, as long as you treat it respectfully. You said, yeah. Because I want to interview somebody in the stand of the empty stadium. And that somebody is Mihála Mura-Hertig, who celebrated a very significant birthday recently. And Mihál came along and he brought a couple of friends, his two daughters and one of his sons. And we sat and spoke for half an hour. The interview won't last that long, but he's such a delightful human being and a sage. And I think the country needs a sage these days. And that wisdom in the stand. It was, you know, Croke Park is so tied up with the country's history and sporting, love of sport. And to be sitting there with that lovely gentleman was an absolute pleasure. And I think you'll like what you see. Tomorrow night you're going to enjoy that interview and reminding us of the importance of all this, all the stadiums around the country, empty at the moment. To them for the most part, but also the importance of GAA, which continues apace at weekends as people's lifeline in many ways. It's for where people can go. Much the same way as the local pub has become a lifeline and is a lifeline, always was. And I suspect those pubs are going to be open within the next 4 weeks. It would be my guess. And how I feel about that is, if you care, is that once the school's got up and running in a measured, calm, unhysterical way. There was a lot of noise. It turns out, actually, the people who were doing the two most important things, teaching and being students, were fine with it. Sorry, the third leg in that stool is the parents. Everyone seemed to be very good about it. And everyone seems very positive about it. So that seems to have worked, which is good news. And yes, there will be isolated moments of COVID. But that's 30 kids in a class. That's a million children. So do the maths. I'm not very good at maths, but I can tell the numbers there are, you know, so we're doing all right. So keep going. And if they open the pubs and if they can treat us like adults and treat the pub owners like adults, and the rest of Europe seem to be able to go and do it, so why can't we? And people will say, well, the Irish have a different relationship with alcohol. Yeah, well, absolutely. But I think that the minister's idea of three strikes and you're out is probably the most sensible way around it, because it'll be like one of my brothers was saying the other evening. It'll be like the smoking ban where everyone thought, it'll never work. Well, eventually it does. And it's called personal responsibility. And we'll take that on board and we'll go for it. So I think it's great that if we can handle it. And look, if it's a catastrophe, we shut it down and we'll try something else. But we have to move on. And let's see how it goes. Also tomorrow night, Gary Lightbody of Snow Patrol will be on to kind of represent the electric picnic that wasn't. And this year, electric picnic isn't on, obviously. But we can kind of say, Gary, talk to us. And so he'll be on and we'll have the Women in Harmony who've had this big hit with Dreams, the Cranberry song, will be joining us too. So that promises to be very beautiful. We have other guests and other extraordinary stories tomorrow night. So put the kettle on, get the bottle in, Have the popcorn on the side as well and join us. And we look forward to your company no end. Really, really are excited about it. Fianna Fáil was appointed a Minister of State at the Department of Justice for Law Reform. And every time I hear this poor man's name, I only think one thing. And his name is James Brown. So congratulations to James Brown TD. And Damien Tiernan, our old pal, sent a tweet of a clip of him when he was elected as a TD back in 2006. Somebody asked him the question, which the poor fella has probably been asked every day since he could talk. And the question was, obviously,
James, how do you feel?
I feel good.
And of course he's going to answer that every time. James, how do you feel?
James, how do you feel?
I feel good.
Every time.
I feel good.
Because this is what this is the association you have with the man's name. Any time the news readers are at 1 o'clock news, and the news just in, that junior minister, James Brown.
I feel good.
Of course you do, because you've just got a gig and it's worked out, and all your life you've been persecuted because you've shared the same name as that the godfather of funk, and it makes perfect sense. So congratulations, James. I'm glad I got this off my chest this morning. I think we all feel good, yeah?
I feel good.
In other news, there's a lovely email that came in from Ronan, from Wilson's of West Wicklow. And I just thought it was a very sweet observation of what's been happening this week, because he says, our small food business in the West Wicklow village of Dunlavin is next to a primary school. And in March, it closed, and all around us, everything went quiet. And we closed our high gates to the village, like Wonka's factory. All seven of us in the company became a small, busy pod, lucky to have work in the maelstrom. So today, as I loaded our delivery van, I could hear that our neighbours were back. And as good neighbours, we vent the vapours of fried chicken, garlic butter, and different things at them in the hope of turning them ravenous. In return, they send the manic buzz of playground back over the boundary hedge, bringing memories of that happy demon that once possessed me all those years ago as a child. And as I drove away to deliver to our dreary new world of face masks and fear and regulation, I thought that, you know what, it's going to be worth it all to hear once more that beautiful noise pollution. Well said. Noise pollution. The sound of children playing and in their uniforms at the bus stops. Who knew that it was such a pretty picture? You think of Lowry's painted matchstick men and matchstick. I always think that those pictures when I see all the kids out and life moving in the right direction. We're moving in the right direction. It's good news. Be careful, though. I see Rascals Brewing Company. I like the name in itself. They're based in Dublin 8. They sent a tweet out saying, we had over 20 no-shows at the restaurant last weekend. 20. All at the busy period in the evening time. It's really frustrating. Apparently some people are now booking multiple places so they're covering their bases for an extended night out, but then staying put in the one. Please be mindful of the restaurant. They're trying to keep it together. They're hanging on by a string. So mind them. Okay, have fun. Keep going. But look after them too, won't you? Michael Sheen, an actor I love. Did you ever see him playing Tony Blair in any of the movies? He's just terrific. And we had him on Tuberty Tonight, actually. He was a lovely, lovely Welsh man. Anytime I see him, I think, yeah, I'll watch you now. You're good. I like you. I trust you now. You make good decisions. He's going to star in Faith Healer, Brian Friel's Faith Healer, in a live-streamed Empty Old Vic Theatre, which I think sounds divine. I saw Faith Healer in the Gate Theatre as performed. The star of that was Ralph Fiennes. And that must have been nearly 20 years ago. My mother went to see that. Anyway, I'd never forget it. It was a beautiful performance, and it was breathtaking, actually. But you can see Michael Sheen in that. We can all sit down and watch that together from our TV rooms. It'll be live streamed for 5 performances from September the 16th to the 19th. You have to pay about 10, 20 quid or something like that, but you can watch it. And that's kind of the new way of looking at things. Mulan, for example, the cartoon, which is much better than it ever got credit for. My youngest told me about it. We watched it one day and I said, well, you're right. This is kind of off the charts a little bit, and I like it, off the beaten track. So they did a live action remake, and now they're not going to put it in the cinema. It's going straight to, not quite video, straight to streaming. So you can buy it on Disney Plus for $19.99, well, about 24 quid or something like that. Or you can wait till December the 4th when it'll just be added to that streaming service as part of it. I'm going to say for free, you're still paying for the streaming service. Anyone else find themselves kind of streaming or kind of buying monthly subscriptions to all these things and then kind of half forgetting? I suddenly realise, God, remember the days you kind of go, license fee, pay, done. Now it's license fee, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, monthly. And kind of forgetting, going, I just want to watch one season of The Morning Show and then I'm not going to do anything. And then you realise 6 months later, am I still involved with that thing? Anyway, this is what happens in the curtained age. Talk about theatre. Well done to Rex Ryan. We wish him well. Great guy. He's opening in Dawson Street his new theatre, Glass Mask Theatre, which is a new writing hub, I should say, in the heart of Dublin. Presents plays from Ireland's top writers and actors, accompanied by a full food and drink service, if you don't mind. So that's supporting the arts. GlassMaskTheatre.com for details. Wish you every good luck. Opium Live Supper Club presents Mac Fleetwood, Europe's number one Fleetwood Mac tribute, on Friday the 4th, that's tomorrow, in Opium in Wexford Street. Socially distanced, limited capacity gig, table service, tickets sold by tables of 2, 4 and 6. So you can get those tickets. You'll find them wherever you need to do so. So have a look at that. You should enjoy it. My book recommendation for the week is terrific. Louise O'Neill, who you'll know from Asking For It, particularly her exceptional book that she wrote, and we spoke about it at length when it came out first because it dealt with issues that were very of the time, still are, but particularly at that time. And as we were talking during the week to Wendy Moxley about domestic violence and coercive control, I happened to be reading Louise O'Neill's new book called After the Silence, which has a very strong theme of domestic violence and coercive control in the book. So it's not just a run-of-the-mill thriller. It tackles these issues. It's quite unnerving, but it's very well handled because you're getting a good story, but also you're learning along the way. And it's, as I say, an unnerving but a very high quality read from Louise O'Neill. So congratulations to her. It's on paperback. It's out as of this morning. And that's the one. Shop local, buy local, support local Irish writers. And hopefully that goes on to be a bestseller because it's there's a lot going on in that book. And roughly speaking, it's two guys who make a podcast from Australia come over to West Cork, where a charismatic Englishman happens to have to be kind of the centre of a murder investigation of a young lady in the community. Now, people will say that sounds like, and Louise has been out talking about how she had been listening to the West Cork podcast and how it was on her mind when she wrote this. But don't be put off by that if you know what I'm saying. This is not, this really has very little to do with that story when you read it. It's much more about different matters. So that's a bit of a sideshow in terms of comparing that too much to that particular story that, you know, we're all talking about. Any road, for the restaurant with the no-show problem, says Dermot, take a booking deposit, yeah, of 10 or 20 euro per head, and that'll soften the cough, pardon the pun, of time wasters. So know that the Late Late Show is back with no studio audience. Will it be one for everyone in the country? I can categorically tell you no, it won't be. I admire you trying it on. Anne says Donald McCann was the best faith healer ever. Well, I only ever saw one, so I can't argue with you. Another great Michael Sheen movie, says Stuart, is The Damned United. Oh, yeah. Not only a great movie, great book, by the way, about Cluffy, Brian Cluffy. He was excellent in that. And the book, by the way, is a gorgeous read. And if, you know, I wouldn't be a follower of Leeds United, but I remember reading that, a very interesting style of writing and a great movie, and you're dead right. And that he can do, he can go out from anywhere, from Kenneth Williams, which he did, to Tony Blair, you know, and then on to Brian Clough. It's amazing. Now, I wanted to mention James Stewart, my favourite actor of all time, largely because he came in for mention last week at the Republican Party convention when one of the speakers, Natalie Harp, got up and made this bizarre reference to the best film of all time, It's a Wonderful Life, and suggested, this is what she said.
In the classic Jimmy Stewart film, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey is given a great gift, the chance to see what the world would be like without him. Tonight, Mr. President, we'd like to give you that same gift. Because without you, we'd all be living in Pottersville, sold out to a crooked Mr., or I should say, a crooked Mrs. Potter, with no hope of escape except death itself.
Yeah, no, absolutely not, Natalie. That is complete. I'm going to write her a letter. How do you spell balderdash? Or something along those lines, honestly. Anyway, as it turns out, and I mentioned this last week, Jimmy Stewart's daughter, who's about 70 years of age, an absolute lady, sent a letter to the New York Times and said, yeah, listen, about that speech, my father would have hated that, would have hated him and George Bailey being compared to Donald Trump in any sentence. And these are Republicans, the Stewarts, as it turns out. So very good. The good news is that woman, her name is Kelly Stewart Harcourt. We found her. She's going to join us on the program this morning. And we're quite excited about that to find out what / let's talk about It's a Wonderful Life. OK, 51551 is the text number. If the Irish music industry had a dedicated site for all the virtual concerts, it could help artists and give the public some choice. Well said, Bob. That makes a great that makes great sense. Elsewhere, when you're talking on the Late Late Show, as you will be, congratulating the frontline workers, mainly medical, please don't forget those who kept us alive by providing our foodstuffs, working without fuss during the last. The problem when you say thanks to somebody is that you can get 99 of the ambulance people and they're always wondering, but don't forget. We do you think we aren't grateful to everyone? We are, but there's always somebody sends a text going, but actually, you forgot to mention. And if we do forget, it's not out of anything, but there's just so many. But believe me, we are very grateful. Kathy says, don't be nervous about the Late Late Show. I can't help it. Every year, it's not even a back to school thing. It's just, I want to get it right, and we all want to get it right, and it's just particularly different tomorrow night and this season. Anyway, it's going to be fantastic, and those of us still having to stay at home more than go out, refusing to use the word cocooning, we are looking forward to some familiarity coming back into our lives. So as our living room is now our new going out, we might even ramp things up a bit, celebrate the return of the Late Late, get in a bottle of lemonade and a packet of crisps or something similar. I like your style. You've got to do all of that. I want to this morning mention, before we march on, just briefly, I want to mention Thiago Cortes. And if you haven't heard of Thiago Cortes, what I can tell you is that he was a 28-year-old man. And on Wednesday evening at about 10:30, when you might have been turning off your TV or heading to bed, he was cycling along the streets of Dublin. And he was doing what a lot of people from around the world are doing, and in this country, from Ireland and from abroad. And what they do is they put big, big packages on their back, and in them they'll put some Chinese food or some chips and burgers, and they go around and they knock on your door and they say, there's your food. They just eat, Deliveroo, Uber Eats, whatever you want to call it. And Thiago Cortes was one of those people as he was cycling around on Wednesday night. Now, on his bike, he was hit by a car, and he fell, and the injuries were fatal, and he died. It was a hit and run, and the person who did it ran. So there was a vigil the other evening, and they were calling for safer roads for delivery drivers in Dublin, and for those responsible for Mr. Cortes' death to be caught. And his fiancée, Teresa Dantas, was joined by her friends and cyclists and Deliveroo cyclists at the demonstration on O'Connell Street. Thiago's from Brazil, and I assume a lot of the people that work on these bikes and do the cycling around and delivering are probably from, God knows, all around the world, Brazil or wherever it might be. But I just wanted to take a moment to say that I get Just Eat food delivered to my door, and I get the delivery, whatever you want to call it. And I don't think we acknowledge them really as more than the delivery guys and girls. We just go, yeah, thanks. They're not ghosts. They're real people. I'm reminding myself here. This isn't me trying to tell you what you need to think. I'm riffing on what I thought when I heard that this poor man who was hit on Monday night died yesterday. What happened? And I realize, actually, I take these people for granted. I don't stop enough and say, thanks a million. That took, you're on your bike, breaking your back, trying to feed us, with the luxury of having this lovely house or kitchen or job or whatever it might be. So to all of those people who stood by the spire, I just want to say that we now see you in a way we didn't. I think we now respect you in a way we didn't, that we should have. And we stand by you in your sadness for the loss of Thiago Cortes. Never heard of him, never met him. But it's time to stop seeing these people as ghosts and actually seeing them as compatriots of ours who deserve a little more than a hello and goodbye. That's what I think. It's 9:23. We're open for business.